There are a number of efforts to try to decrease the possibility of your child having a reaction to a peanut or to milk or to any of these other agents. And there has been a lot of work, which you are doing much of immunotherapy, or if it's not immunotherapy, tolerance to the food particle. Can you tell us about that?
So what a family that has a child that has peanut allergies specifically, what they live in fear of is that their child will accidentally ingest peanuts at home in a contaminated food when they go out to eat at the grandparents' house and have a life-threatening reaction. The chances of that happening are relatively small, but they're unpredictable. So what a family wants is some protection from an accidental significant reaction. So that's the background.
Right.
The studies are done with types of allergy immunotherapy. Immunotherapy has been done for over a decade for allergic rhinitis and asthma, for airborne allergens like grass and tree pollen. And basically the concept is to give that person back what they're allergic to in increasingly larger amounts over time to change their immune system.
Allergy shots.
Right. So those are the injections that people get. You grew up with kids that did that. The concept of allergy immune therapy then we took to foods to give them back the food that they're allergic to try to raise their tolerance level. So as an example, most children that are allergic to peanuts, they'll have their clinical reaction to about a third of a peanut, so not very much. If you do a type of immune therapy and they can tolerate it, whether it's oral or sublingual or epicutaneous, at 6 months, 12 months into that, they'll tolerate somewhere between 5 and 20 peanuts before they have a reaction. So their tolerance level goes up, but only while they're on the therapy.
Why can't you do a peanut allergy shot? Why does it have to be oral?
So if you look at allergic disease in general, the most likely way that you'll cause somebody to have a really bad reaction is by giving something to IV. And then IM injection, intramuscular injection, is the next easiest way to cause anaphylaxis or a life-threatening allergic reaction. The least likely way that you can do that is to give something orally. So we were trying to take the safest way that you could give peanut back to the patient to cause the changes in the immune system. People have actually tried injection with peanut immunotherapy. There were studies in the early 1990s, and there was a patient that died from it.
Okay.
And so they stopped that for decades now. There's a resurgence of that with a modified peanut to try to do that. But just in general, whether it's a drug or a food, then anytime you give something intramuscularly or IV, you increase your chances of having a really bad reaction significantly.
And so what you're doing now is literally grinding up a peanut and putting it between the cheek and gum?
We actually buy a peanut powder from a candy company, a international peanut company, and the powder has protein plus some other things in it. And we weigh it out and give that in a cup to a patient. They take that powder and mix with food. And that's the drug, the dose that they take that day.
And do they drink it, or do they?
They put it in a food.
They
put it in applesauce or ice cream or something soft, and then they mix it up, and then they just eat the food. So they'll take 2 tablespoons of food and put the powder in it and then eat that. The powder, the amount that we weigh out and the regulations for it are not different than you might expect for a drug because we're giving them something to change their immune system. So the regulatory hurdles that we face as far as how to give that peanut product to them, we just don't buy it off the shelf and give it to them. We have to make sure it doesn't have bacterial contamination. We have to make sure it has all the peanut proteins in it, all the things that you might if you're even, like you're giving somebody a drug like amoxicillin. So it's the same process. It just happens to be a food.
And how successful is it?
There's different types of immunotherapy. There's oral. There's sublingual, which is a liquid concentrated peanut, and then there's a company that has an epicutaneous one, which is a patch. The main ones that we're studying here are oral and sublingual. The oral, about 15% of children cannot tolerate it because they have such significant GI symptoms in the first few weeks when they start it. If they're in the 80%+ that tolerate it, most all of them will get to that tolerance level changing within 6 months quite easily. The sublingual is to take peanut and dissolve it in a liquid, and that liquid concentrate is taken with a dropper and drops put underneath the tongue, 4, 5, 6 drops put underneath the tongue. They try to hold it for a couple of minutes and then they swallow it. That's a traditional form of allergy immunotherapy that's used for grass and tree pollen and other things. So it's been done for a long time. There are products approved in the U.S. and sublingual immunotherapy for ragweed and timothy grass. And that changes your immune system like it does for oral and epicutaneous. It has fewer side effects than oral, and it's more effective than the epicutaneous. So it's kind of a midpoint between those two types of treatments. But all of them, the effect begins to go away once you stop the treatment. So if you're treated for 5 years, 5.5 years, 6 years, unless you continue to expose them to peanut in some way, it begins to wear off. It doesn't wear off as fast as people thought. Dr. Kim and others have done studies here recently that have showed the decay in that protection, and it's longer than people thought. But it will dissipate over time unless you continue to allow them, what I think of as to see the peanut in some way. We're not asking them to ingest peanuts, but it gives them a level of protection that they're accidentally not going to eat 6 peanuts.
Because that's the fear. Right. The fear is that you go to somebody's house and they have peanuts in somehow or another,
right,
and unbeknownst to the individual, they're eating peanuts and they don't know about it. It's not an effort to allow individuals to eat peanuts again,
no,
or for the first time. It's an effort to protect them of a catastrophic adverse moment.
Yes. So one of the interesting things, to digress a minute, that I think I learned personally in this for 20 years is that when we started, a lot of us started doing this together, we did it to try to make the disease go away. That's like what you want to do. You give them a treatment.
And cure it.
Right. You make the C word, you make it go away.
Right.
And what we quickly realized, like literally the first year, and the parents didn't really care about that. What they wanted was that protection. And they'll do a lot to raise that threshold so their child won't have an accidental reaction. They didn't really care that their child had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but they did care that there was that threshold. And so it really changed ours and a lot of people's approach to the therapy, because those are really different goals.
Right.